got Miss Nia Holloway joining us here on Let That Music Out. Nia, how you doing today?
I am doing amazing. I'm so honored, so grateful, excited to be here.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you here. And you're in Atlanta right now, right? You're at home?
Yes, I'm in Atlanta, downtown right now.
Mm-hmm. What's the weather like over there?
It's not too bad. It's getting nippy for a Southern Belle, but it's not too bad.
All right. That's beautiful. Well, I'm glad to have you. I mean, this is a really, really important show for us. This is the first episode of Let That Music Out, and I thought that it would be fitting for a couple of reasons. One, because we got this amazing theme song that you helped co-write and that you're featured on. So I thought that would be really appropriate. And also because I want to touch on legacy and touch on patience and how things take time to come together. And I think, you know, both of our stories speak to that a lot, you know.
Absolutely.
Speaks to that a lot. So
I agree. This whole industry is hurry up and wait. So it's, I always say it's 95% patience.
Absolutely. A lot of it is about patience and taking time. All right. So, Miss Nia, my first question to you is, how did you get your start in music?
Oh, wow. That goes back to like early childhood. I mean, I'm rooted in it from my dad, my grandmother, my great grandmother on my mother's side. So really started singing at cookouts. And, you know, my dad kind of didn't push it on me because it's like the family business in a way. But when I was like 9, I was like, Dad, this is what I want to do. So 9, my parents got on it and we got busy. Auditions and classes and every dance class you could think of, every acting class you could think of. So since the beginning, yeah, since I was a little kid, it's always been like in my bones to want to do this. I never see myself doing anything else.
Absolutely. And home for you originally is Chicago, from what I recall, right?
Yes, I'm originally from Harvey, Illinois. Harvey, Illinois. Folks that don't know, go look it up. You'll see where I'm from. But yeah, when I was about 9 years old, we moved to Atlanta. 8 years old, we moved to Atlanta, me and my parents, my sisters. But my roots are definitely in Chicago. That's where my grandmother was, my dad's whole side of the family. So I spent every summer there from like 9 to 15 too. So definitely my roots are Harvey, Illinois. But Georgia definitely raised me.
That's what's up. So I want to talk about, and I'm moving into the legacy part of all of this. And our first, you and I had our first collaboration. It was in memory of your grandmother, the legendary Lolita yes. Holloway. And my question, I guess we could talk about her, you know, for a long time at length. But I want to know just if you could just give me a brief summary, like how does she influence you musically and you know, yeah, what is she giving you that you carry with you even right now, you know, currently as an artist and as a human being?
That's an amazing question. First, I would say as a human being, she's just always been the type of person I can look at where it didn't affect her, and she made it her mission. It didn't affect her, like, what was happening in her career. She made it her mission to show us, like, who you're supposed to be while you're doing that. That's not who you are. And even though she was an amazing talent, she was so humble and a beautiful spirit and so giving and loving and nurturing. And she was an example of everything that you aspire to be as a woman and as an artist. So just as a person, especially now as a woman, because I only got her 15 years of my life. Now as a woman, I look back on some of the things she told me, and I'm so glad she did, because even now at 28, it's like, wow, she knew what she was doing. So she was a beautiful spirit. And then just as an artist, she, I mean, did something that was so iconic with her music. Still 45 years later, we're still listening to her music. I can go anywhere and they're playing her song. So that's something that I aspire to do just once, but over and over again, like she did. So, oh my gosh. Like you said, I could talk about her forever. She wasn't just Lolita Holloway. She was mama, and she was mama to everybody.
Absolutely. It was interesting when you and I were on the phone the other day talking with Wayne Williams, and he told that amazing story about when he met your grandmother. And I'm sure that a lot of people, like, you know, have these great stories of, meeting her and like just in one meeting, just to like, man, I'll never forget like the hug she gave me, or you know, like Wayne said, the way she just, you know, touched his face, it felt like mama, felt like his mom. So
yeah,
that's amazing that she had that love and that big heart to share.
And that's, I think that was the most beautiful part about her. It was like, if it was for 5 minutes or 5 years or 50 years, she saw you. And every person that she met, they knew that she saw them. So that was, she was a star in every sense of the word.
That's amazing. Okay, so now I want to move on to another very, very interesting part of your career. I understand that for a very long time, you were Nala in The Lion King, in the musical that traveled all over. We got to talk about this. For one, I got a chance to come and see you when you came to visit in Toronto. Before the pandemic, this was like 2018.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved the show. But tell me what that was like, being part of such an iconic production and touring for so long, so young. What was that like?
Yeah. I mean, it was in the beginning a complete whirlwind, because like you said, I was the youngest. I'm still the youngest woman to ever play the role. And I was 17 at the time. So I still had to finish my senior year of high school. My father quit his job, came on tour with me. My mother started to hold it down at home, my two sisters. So it just flipped our whole life upside down. But my parents always told me, like, I went to Lion King College, because it really just threw me into a world with adults who were really in their craft and had worked their whole lives to be where I was at 17. So I just told myself I was going to be a sponge. And that's what I was for 6 years. And I just learned from some of the most amazing people, just outside of their gift, some amazing people. I mean, we toured together, so we were like family. And then on stage, I learned so much. I mean, we do 35 shows in a month, you know, and you get one day off a week. You're traveling 2 days out of those 4 days off in a month. So when I say some of the hardest working people in this industry are in musical theater, are on those tours. So it was the perfect place for me to get thrown into at 17, because it just even more made me just love and have a respect for this game, because it's a journey and you have to be patient. And I just took advantage of the opportunity to be young and say, I'm immersed around some phenomenal world talents. Let me take this in, because it definitely was a godsend and God put me there for a reason. And I got everything I needed out of that, for sure. And I didn't move until God told me to move on. So it was a beautiful experience from top to bottom.
That's amazing. Okay, so I want to go on to my next question. So what is your most memorable experience in the music industry? Your most memorable experience in the music industry. It could be of any time, any timeline, any era.
Oh my gosh. I can think of so many things. So I'm like, I don't want to say that's my favorite. And then I think, man, that's such a good question.
Right. I tried on these questions, Nia. I really did. I wanted to engage you a lot. So it's good. I got you thinking.
I mean, I've been blessed enough really to have, my career has been really, really blessed at such a young age. So I've been filled with a lot of experiences. I would have to say when I went to, this is the first thing that comes to my head. I was in, went to Calgary, and it was in Canada. And I was there with the Lion King, and I was injured. And so I had bought a ticket to see Nicki Minaj on tour in Calgary, because I happened to be there at the same time. And I was going to miss it because I was injured. So I decided to fly back early to tour and just sit around because I had to see her. And when I went to see her live, just as a artist, as a Black woman in America, to see her up there by herself and what she was speaking and just manifesting over herself, but then choosing to manifest it over everybody else. It was beautiful. So I would say, like, because I was so young, I was 19 at the time, and I just bought a ticket and was in, I mean, I'm from the south side of Chicago. So it was like, I was in Calgary and I got to see Nicki Minaj. So it was so random. And she was on tour with Meek Mill. So I'm like, literally the only Black girl in the front row. And I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was in it? And everybody's like, oh, okay. They put me on the Jumbotron. And I was like, ah! So it was just a beautiful experience to have. And I was just by myself, but I still felt seen because of what she was speaking. And then I could see myself. I was like, it was just another thing that God put in my path where it was like, it's going to happen for me. That's why I got to see her. And it's just beautiful that he can use other people to show you that he's there. So
that's what's up. That's one of my favorite. That sounds like an amazing experience, especially in Calgary, of all places.
Of all places. It was, yeah. And that was like one of the most fun times I had ever had too, on tour in Calgary. So shout out to, yeah, don't sleep on Calgary.
That's what's up. You know, I've yet to visit Calgary. I was in Edmonton for like a train layover. I took the Via Rail train from Toronto to Vancouver just to experience the whole way across. And I stopped in Edmonton, but I haven't gone to Calgary yet. I got to check that out sometime.
How was that train ride? Was that beautiful?
It was so beautiful. Just seeing, you know, just the mountains and the prairies and, you know, just nature, trees. It was this interesting part where there was these fires that kind of start from lightning striking the trees. And then it kind of is a way to, for nature to like, you know, trim the trees. So it was really cool. You see these areas where it's just like burnt tree stumps and then trees that weren't affected. That was something I remember, which was fascinating to see. And then like the different small bodies of water. Oh, and watching beavers make their little dams and stuff. I actually saw that a couple of times when the train was going really, really slow. That was fun to watch. Oh, so a lot of nature. It gave me a lot of time to just reflect. And, you know, I recommend anybody, if they can take a 3-4 day train ride, it's so therapeutic. It's great.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
Absolutely. Okay, so next question. What advice would you give to someone just starting out as a singer?
Oh, wow. And you have these questions because you've been doing this, you know, at a high level for so long, because these questions are amazing. Because they're questions you ask yourself like over and over again, too. Yep. I would say to immediately, if you to put comparison out of the window, and if you can't, put your blinders on and focus on your reason before you even get to like what's going to happen once the music comes out, and before you start picturing all that, worry about your reason for doing this, because art, music, you know, it's, you know, letting that music out is bigger than just what happens after. It's the journey through it. That's where you become, and that is what creates the aftermath. So focus on that part. Put your blinders on. Focus on what you're being used for, what you're saying, you know, are people going to be able to be filled by this 20 years from now, 25 years from now? Can somebody turn this on and be like, God, I needed this? So I think if you focus on that, everything else will happen the way it's supposed to. Let go, be free, you know, don't put any restraints on yourself with your creativity, especially in the beginning. Like, people are like, I gotta find my sound. Like, just do what you feel, do what comes out, and you'll find the right path. So I would say start there.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. I love that. Okay, cool. All right. How has becoming a mom influenced you and affected you?
Ooh.
Because like when I last saw you, when we worked together, you weren't a mother yet. So you've gone through some changes. So I want to know, you know, how that's changed you. And like, yeah, if anything you could speak to. I'm just curious because we haven't really talked since.
That's I was the farthest thing from a mother when the last time you saw me. I would say it's just really opened up my just purpose for life. It's almost unexplainable, like compared to what I thought my reasons for things were, and then what I think they are now is just so different. And so I'm able to create from a different place. I just feel so free because, you know, even the most confident people, I mean, I've heard some of, you know, our greatest idols, you know, Michael Jackson, Beyonce, they worry about what people think. And I think I could say confidently that I'm a confident person. I don't struggle with other people's opinion, but I have my moments. And I think becoming a mother has just freed me of that even more, because, you know, I'm really only concerned with what this little 2-year-old thinks, to be honest with you. And it's crazy to say that, but just my purpose for things, I'm not really concerned about what other people are going to think, what it's going to sound like, what it's going to look like, or, you know, what are people going to think when I do this? You know, I just have a different purpose for things. So I just create from a freer place, and I've been able to just pull some amazing things out of myself, and I sound so much different. My perspective is so much different. My swag is different. The way I say things is different. So I think that the thing I was yearning for too when I was younger was like, I was just waiting for that thing to hit in my music. I needed to live a little bit. I needed to experience some life, and I had to be patient too. And I think that's something like artists like struggle with, where it's like, you know, when you get to a certain point, you'll know when it feels right, and you know, the music is coming out effortlessly, and I can feel, I'm like, this is where I was supposed to be. This is where I always knew I wanted to be, but I had to be patient. I had to let my music grow to this place. And I think that I'm one of those artists that like takes my time, and probably too much, where it's like, my sisters always laugh at me. They're like, okay, it's time to open up the secret vault, ma'am. Okay, you got the secret vault. It's been locked for years. Let some people hear. So don't be that way, but it's nothing wrong with taking your time and being patient, because, you know, I've heard some of the greatest people that I am inspired by. It's a craft, and the music that we listen to for years, the music we turn on now that's 25 years old, it took them 2 years to make it. It took them 3 years to make it. And so I just, now that I'm older, I respect that so much more. So being a mother has just opened up my eyes to that as an artist, where it's like, let go a little bit. You had to live a little bit to get here.
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah, me being a father, and, you know, just being a part of watching little humans grow up, it's humbling. And it's taught me a lot more about patience and letting go, in the sense that, like, sometimes you think your child is going to go in a direction that you want them to go. And then as they grow older, you find out that, oh, this is a whole entire independent person by themselves, with another destiny, with a whole nother set of dreams and goals that may or may not necessarily align with what you had in mind. But I do feel, you know, blessed to be able to assist them along that journey. You know what I'm saying? Like, my one daughter, she says, you're like a guardian. I'm like, yeah, I feel that. I'm more like a guardian. I'm just here to just make sure you get to where you're trying to go. You know, I'm not really in your way. I'm just here kind of watching your back, looking out for y'all, you know, and, you know, just call me in when you need me. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's a great way to go about it. Slightly different than how I think my parents did it. I think my parents were a lot more strict. I think I was a little more liberal as a parent, but I, you know, that whole guardian thing over trying to dictate, I think that's the way I'm having a lot better time as a dad. It's a struggle sometimes. I mean, but, you know.
But that's beautiful. It's like, because that's deep to be like, it is a guardianship, because I mean, like, because my son has really taught me, like, you don't have control. That's why I've been able to release even more of my music. Right. Because when you, like you say, you look at this little human growing, you like, he gonna do this, and he gonna be like this. And you hope for these things. And it's gonna be different in a lot of ways. And I'm sure it's gonna be even more beautiful. But they just humble you and teach you, you just do not have control. All you can do is control what's in your control and make that beautiful. And go along the bumps as you can. You know, but that's, oh my gosh, being a mother has just, it's one of the most beautiful things that's ever happened to me. I'm humbled by it. I'm grateful, and I'm honored. And it's definitely changed my perspectives and things and for life.
That's amazing. Okay. So my final question, what can we expect from you in 2024, Miss Holloway? What's next?
2024, you can expect me out the gate hitting y'all over the head back to back. I'm just at a place where it's time to release it all. I'm excited.
Amen. Let it all out.
So excited for people to hear. I'm ready, literally ready to release it all. So many visuals. This is the first time in my life where it's like I have a clear plan. I can see it clear from top to bottom, the promo, the everything. So I'm excited for people to really meet me and be like, wow, this is who she is. And then just get, you know, this is just like the first little peek into my, like, crazy brain. So I'm just excited for that. 2024 is going to be my introduction. My project is going to be called Main Attraction. And so it's going to exemplify that. And, you know, that's not like a look at me kind of way, but Main Attraction in the sense of what I'm talking about, what I'm trying to tell you, that should be your main attraction. And so that's what 2024 is about, the Main Attraction.
We're excited for that. I'm excited for everything, you know, that 2024 has to bring. And I think for me, in parallel to what you're saying, my hope and my wish is that this podcast and this radio show is that for me, like that extension of my voice and what I believe in and what we're doing at the Singers Company and what we've been doing, like along the way, how I've worked with you and impact your life and different artists. And we want to do that. That's, you know, introduce new music, speak to, you know, different creatives at different levels, right? People who can inspire the next generation and pay it forward, and a platform for up and coming artists to also share their music and let that music out, you know, to let it out.
That's also what I'm excited for 2024. Let that music out.
Let that music out.
So,
the movement.
And
thank you so much.
I have to say, like, Roy, I'm so grateful just for you. You're just one of those people that just will call and be like, hey, we doing this. And so as an artist, that's also why you have to be patient, because you just never know the rooms your name is in without you even being there, or whose mind you're on. So I'm grateful that when I came to your mind, you acted on it and we were able to create something. And now, years in the making, people are about to hear it. So it's going to be phenomenal.
I know.
I'm so grateful. I'm excited.
It's so exciting. All right. How much time we got on this call? I actually want to play the song too, because I think we could do a screen share. And then, you know, of course, you know, we're gonna re-edit this. We're gonna do a re-edit on this. But let me see if I could do. Why not? Before we go, let's listen to "Let That Music Out."
Let's do it.
Here we go. alive. Let that music out.
Come alive.
Right? Hold on a second. Let me turn the sound off. Back off. Wow, it actually does sound great listening to it. And with actually having you on the call here, this is exactly surreal.
It's a bop. Your new favorite bop. Oh my gosh. So thank you for calling me. Okay.
And thank you for answering the call. And thank you to your mother and father for bringing you all the way to Toronto. Like the story of even how we made that record, because you know that was crazy. The first year when I moved to Toronto. And I know.
Really? I didn't know that was your first year.
You guys came up. That was the first year I was like, look, I want to work with you, but I just relocated to Toronto. At the time, I remember I was doing my first residency at Backroom Recording Studios. Yeah. And it was like very early on. And your dad was like, yeah, we're going to come to see you. And I was so happy, man. Like,
yeah.
Having family come visit you in a new place. You know what I mean? We had such a good time. We went to the Real Jerk. Remember?
Oh, listen. You took us there the first day. We were there every day after that.
Yeah,
every day after that.
Had to go get some of the Real Jerk. Yeah. Oh man.
Listen, that was the best. I don't eat meat anymore, but let me tell you.
Yeah, at the time, heavily vegan at the time. Remember? Because I had the curry lentil.
Yes. My mom ate that. Yeah, she ate that and like sauce. Me and my dad was getting down on the oxtail.
Oh, so good. All right, yes, Ms. Holloway, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
All the best for 2024. Much success to all of us. And keep letting your music out.
Absolutely. Let that music out.
God bless. See you soon.
Bye.